This is EVQuest's new shorts, Easter Bunny edition, highlighting recent EV news headlines from New Zealand, Australia and around the world. Included in this episode, finally an electric Hilux question mark, end of an era for Volvo, and Australian government agrees on fuel efficiency standards. G'day, I'm Adrian Maven, and joining me as always in the weekend is Riz Akhtar from Carloop, based in Melbourne, Australia. Hello, Riz.
Hey, Adrian. Good to be on. Lots for us to chat about. It's like it's moving so quickly now.
Yes, it is. It is. And we'll start with just some straight facts informational thing that the RUCs start in New Zealand. If you have an EV, it starts April 1, $76 per 1,000 kilometres for the EVs, plug-in hybrid, $38 per 1,000 kilometres. And it says on the NZTA website, you have until 31st of May 2024 to buy your first RUC licence. So we'll see what happens with that.
So that officially starts on Easter Monday.
Yeah.
Oh. Do you think it's real or it's a bit of an April's Fool joke?
No, it's real.
It's real. It's happening.
It's real. It's like the Easter Bunny. It's real.
It's real. Yeah, that's
true. So we'll see how that goes. People got to pay a bit more money. I guess a lot of talk about it, but we'll just leave it there. That's happening. We'll report back how it goes. There should be some good feedback.
Just on that one, Adrian, I know you've been going around sort of test driving vehicles and talking to the dealers. Are you getting any vibe on whether the sales are improving or people are still quite concerned about obviously not having a clean car discount and also this road user charge coming in?
I think things are still a bit of a cloud of uncertainty. The next round of monthly figures will be out soon for new car sales. So we'll see what happens there, if there's been a pickup or it's still in the doldrums. So I think I'll just wait until a couple of days and we'll see what happens. Could be a boost. But it is quite contrasting with Australia, I think. It's every day it's more of a, it's all going on in Australia, whereas New Zealand's gone a bit still flat.
Yeah, I think we're going to see some more models come into both markets. So, you know, as the dust settles off the back of the clean car discount being abolished, I suspect with new models and manufacturers doing what they should be doing is cutting prices, as we sort of discussed last week, across both countries. It will, you know, get things back into gear.
Moving along to a story, I think you'll be skeptical and probably query the chances of happening. And Reuters has said that Toyota plans to mass produce a battery electric Hilux pickup truck by the end of 2025. The president of its Thailand unit said on Tuesday, did not specifically say where it would be produced, but it comes after the Thai government announced that rival automaker Isuzu was launching a D-Max pickup in 2025. Cue the doubts from Riz.
Look, I think there's there seems to be more and more happening in Thailand in the EV space. Bangkok Auto Show is on at the moment, and they are showcasing the new Isuzu electric ute prototype. And we have had here in Australia the prototype of the Toyota Hilux electric ute that was originally unveiled in Thailand last year in Bangkok Auto Show. So, yeah, there's a bit of rivalry going on, which I think if it means it gets a few electric utes into production, in a big ute heavy markets like Thailand, Australia, New Zealand, I think it can only be a good thing. It will encourage fleets to actually start to make the switch.
Yeah, I think electric Hilux would go really well.
Mm.
It's a popular vehicle here, so we'll watch the space. And then we'll move across to Australia. Maybe we'll just keeping on new vehicles. There's Mini's been launched at a couple of new models.
Yeah, so the Mini had Countryman come out a couple of months ago. They announced that will be coming later this year, which is a slightly larger, I guess you can call it a mini SUV, but the Cooper, which is, you know, Mini is known for its Cooper, the three-door hatchback. Now they've got an upgraded version of that one that they've just announced that is going to be arriving in the second half of 2024. There's two variants. Both start under 60,000 Australian dollars drive up before on-road costs. Both offering more range than its predecessor, and it has a very large round screen in the middle, keeping the minimalistic interior quite funky. I'm actually looking forward to driving it when it actually does launch later this year.
And Tesla stocks, you can buy Tesla, secondhand Tesla, pretty easily at the moment. I was reading in one of your articles.
Yeah, it's a lot more stock coming in. I think people that were waiting to upgrade to the new Model 3 have done so, and which means they have to offload or sell their existing Tesla. So there's a lot of them on the market, and the prices are starting to come down as well. So they, here in Australia, you can pick up a used Tesla for as little as $35,000.
What would the specs be on that, and how many Ks would that have done?
The one example I saw was in Queensland, and it had 90,000 kilometers. And it was in red, which is, you know, the more expensive color. Apparently one owner selling due to the fact that it's, I think their lease had finished. There seems to be more and more of those cars being turned around with reasonable Ks, and Teslas generally have not a lot to service. So 2019 model, base model, so rear-wheel drive with 90-odd thousand Ks for around 35,000, but there's a couple more, definitely under 40,000, that are up for sale. We've had 100,000 Teslas delivered in Australia. I did some maths earlier, and 85,000 of them have been in the last 3 years. It seems to be, you know, growing pretty rapidly with the way things are going, and them launching the new Model 3, the Model Y being very popular as well. And I'm sure New Zealand will be seeing a bit of uptick as well as the new Model 3 rolls out.
In the ongoing saga of your, well, when I say your, I mean Australians, fuel efficiency standards targets, it looks like the government has reached a draft legislation for its fuel efficiency standards. A little bit, not quite as strict as they were looking at, but it looks like it's got it signed off just about.
It's a good start, as always. You know, we haven't had anything in the past, so there's a couple of vehicles they've had to turn into what they call light commercial vehicles. One of them stood out. I don't know why they had to have the Mercedes-Benz G63 AMG, which is like, you know, over a $300,000 car. Not sure why that made it specifically to the list of no longer being considered a passenger car. It's a more light commercial vehicle, so it won't have the same, let's say, strict emission standards on it. It's happening. That's the important thing.
Yeah, I got a bit confused when I was reading an article about what car was which, the classification. It got a bit confusing.
They didn't do a good job at explaining it, and but, you know, I'm sure there'll be smarter people than myself that will look at it and try and dumb it down for myself.
Excellent. That's what we like. Now, let's go overseas. What's happening in the, well, outside Australia, New Zealand? I guess it's always the Chinese markets. One of the brands you've been following a lot has just done their launch.
Xiaomi,
yep.
Yeah, the phone brand, and very interesting. They launched their vehicle on Thursday night, Australia and New Zealand time, and pretty impressive with what they've sort of showcased and the pricing they've set. Quite unique. It has built-in mounts for things. You can potentially mount a whole lot of accessories, Xiaomi accessories, into the car. Haven't come across a vehicle that's that easily, let's call it, modifiable. And it uses some really high-end technology in terms of the screen that's there, 3K screen in the middle of the vehicle. Very easy to connect your phone. It mirrors your phone directly, so it's, you can actually use your phone on the actual vehicle screen. And yeah, it comes with quite a few unique specs we haven't seen in EVs from legacy car makers.
I was reading about XPeng. They've launched into Germany. as well.
And in Thailand.
Oh, and in Thailand.
So Right Hand Drive is coming. They're at the Bangkok Auto Show with a pretty large stand. So yeah, the big Chinese brands are expanding very quickly into global markets because there's too much competition in China to really make any profit off it, of selling vehicles. So they're looking at alternative markets where there's less competition. So yeah, be quite unique to see what happens. On that Xiaomi car, it appears that it's probably three to four years away from going into any international markets, and generally right-hand drive markets like Australia and New Zealand is even later than that. So we'll be waiting a while for that vehicle to get here.
And just sort of a bit of a summary on the Chinese car brands, they said on the CNBC website said, China-made vehicles will comprise a quarter of Europe's EV sales this year. That did include Teslas made in China, though. But it does show the increasing scale of the Chinese EV car makers going global.
It's happening, and I think it's a bit, in some ways it's a positive thing because it brings the price of vehicles down. And, you know, if the quality is up there, people will buy them.
And at the other end of the spectrum, Volvo, the EX90 diesel, the final one of those rolled off production. We'll say that's an end of an era and the continuation of the trend towards EVs, which Volvo has a big plan to be part of as they're going full EV in Australia 2026 and the rest of the world by 2030.
Apparently that last one's going directly to a museum. It's, you know, I think they want to preserve their history, but at the same time are very keen to be part of this electric vehicle transition, as you said, Adrian.
Anything else? Any other sort of models that have been you've spotted this week?
BYD launched their Yuan Up, which is basically a jacked up version of the Dolphin. It had received, I think, over 20,000 orders in 3 days in China, and I suspect that vehicle will be coming into Australian and New Zealand market by first half of next year. So that's continuous addition of models to the lineup that BYD currently sells in both countries, and that vehicle is pretty significant. I suspect it will be one of BYD's most popular electric SUVs. I would say even more popular than the Atto 3 in certain markets.
Interesting. Yeah, it does look good. Okay then, well thanks very much, Riz, and we'll catch up again next week.
Thanks, Adrian.